Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Bourbon and Bars Lounge. A relaxing, roaming, and sexy spot where the cigars are always fresh and the bars are always hot. A place where poets can come and blaze the stage, providing an ambiance for those who come to enjoy the bourbon and gar while listening to poetic bars. Let the saxophone smooth, sexy sound serenade the scene as your host, Paul Graham the Poet, brings to you an experience. This is presented by Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Sponsored by Raw Links, LLC. So light up your favorite stick. Tell the bartender to pour your favorite drink and prepare yourself. Because it's time for Smoke and Root.
Welcome everybody to the Bourbons and Bars Lounge. I am your host, Paul Graham the Poet, and this is another installment of Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network presents Smoking Word Open Mic, again, hosted by myself, Mr. Paul Graham the Poet. For those of you listening online, that dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and press 1 if you want to blaze that mic. So I have a question to everyone listening out there. You know, a lot of us, we give a lot of ourselves to people when they're in need, which is a good thing. You know, as humans, we should, you know, we should help each other in those in certain situations. But what I want to know is, what do you do to recharge? Like, what do you do for yourself to help with your own mental health? For me, that question, if I were to ask that question, to be honest with you, we can say four or five months ago, I wouldn't know how to answer that question. Now, I rely on my pen, and I rely on what some people call extended family. Just to be a little transparent, you know, for the topic that we're on tonight, you know, I was at their breaking point. You know, I was at the point in my life where I was just a burden to people. You know, I just didn't see the joy in living. I, like the song said, I was alive, but I wasn't really living, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I was ready to be done with it. I was ready to give up. And I've had what people say extended family, I'm just going to say family, who were there for me, you know, in those moments where things were just too dark for me. Epiphany, for sure, you know, was there for me in those dark, dark, dark moments. Because of Epiphany and for people reaching out to me, I found out some resources and things of that nature too, when I do have, you know, those moments where I can fall back on something. So that's what we're going to discuss today, because a lot of us, especially as Black men, we are under that stigmata that seeking help or, you know, things of that nature is something weak. But I rather for someone to feel like I appear weak for seeking help than for someone to cry over my grave because I chose not to. So I'm going to start it off tonight with a piece called I Admit It. It's one of those pieces that I wrote when I was going through some things, and I'm going to share it with y'all today. I admit it. I have a hard time expressing the emotions that reside inside of me. The forced confidence I'll allow you to see is really only a mask to prevent your knowledge of the tears that are forming in my eyes. You see, I usually hide my pain pretty well. But there are days. There are days when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is just a fight that I am no longer willing to fight anymore. You know, sometimes I feel like the burden of life is already too heavy, but the weight is constantly growing, creating pressures on my brain that sends negative messages to my heart, telling me every day that I should just give up. And I admit it, that option does put a rare, real smile on my face sometimes. So because of those days when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is a fight that I'm no longer willing to fight, I'm completely convinced that my existence has been nothing but a hindrance to all those who have come in contact with me, and I admit it. I hate it here. I hate that I have to lie to my mother when she asks if I'm okay. I quickly tell her that I'm fine, but I only get away with that lie over a text message or an inbox because I refuse to look her in her face. You see, my mother knows when I'm lying. If she looks me in my eyes, she would then know that there is a war raging inside of me between good and evil, and I'm not even sure which side my depression is even on. And I must protect her from that. And I admit it. I have a habit of bottling up my pain, refusing to share it until it is constantly shook and explodes on all those around me, leaving stains of my hurt on their lives. Tell me, do you have any idea how hard it is to wash your pain out of the heart that lives in someone else's chest? I admit it. Sometimes I do just want to end it all. But on those days when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is a fight that I am no longer willing to fight, I reach for the only relaxation and therapy that I know. I grab my pen and I ink my emotions between two blue lines on college ruled paper. The dam of confidence is removed and the tears that I'm afraid to show begin to flow, smearing the lines on my paper, but I keep writing. I write until those tears stop. I write until that pain eases. I write until I feel like I can make it one more day. And I admit it, I have a hard time expressing the emotions that reside inside of me. The forced confidence I'll allow you to see is really only a mask to prevent your knowledge of the tears that are forming in my eyes. You see, I usually hide my pain pretty damn well. But there are days when I feel like the struggle to defeat my depression is just a fight that I am no longer willing to fight anymore. But today, I convince myself to fight one more day. That's how we gonna start things off today, man. We're gonna get into one more nice little song, and then we're gonna start opening up these mics. I see we have a couple callers in. Thank you guys for showing up. Again, we're gonna be discussing mental health, and let's get this thing cracking. So I wanna know, man, you tell me what people do with their last $2.
At the casino, she lost all her money. She said, "Don't feel sorry for me, no. is what I want you to do. Just loan me $2 until the next time I see you. But these last $2 to hear me some blues, gotta hear me some blues. She said I wouldn't be over here.
Hello? Can't hear anything. Having some technical difficulty? Now I can. There
we
you go.
We had a small technical. It wasn't really a technical difficulty. It was more of a user error.
So. Oh, okay. That's all right.
Well, I want to welcome La Perla Negra to the show. How are you doing, goddess?
I'm doing. Thank you. I'm doing best I can.
Oh, man, thanks for coming through to the Bourbon and Bars Lounge, man. Everybody already know what they need to set you up with. I got the cigars going. I'm going to try to get you in cigar culture. Me and J-Rod, we on a mission.
If you know what, my father used to smoke cigars. And his had, I was very, very young when he passed away, but I remember him. And he used to smoke these cigars, and he had this sweet aroma. It was never like an overwhelming tobacco smell or anything like that. It was a very, very sweet aroma. He always had one, always. So if you got any that have that smell, that sweetness to it, oh, you got me. I will definitely partake.
Well, I'm going to do some research and I'm going to see what's up. I'm new to the culture. J-Rod pretty much introduced me, and I've man, you have no idea. I get on everybody's nerves in this house. They know when I go in that back room and I'm back there with my cigars, leave me alone. Give me my 30 minutes of just relaxation.
I hear that. It's important, too. It's very much important. People don't even understand that little bit of time, that little pleasantry, it means so much. It don't have to be a whole long, drawn-out time that you're away from the world, but just that little bit of time, man, it makes all the difference. Whew.
Yes, it does. And speaking of relaxation and things of that nature, tell me, what do you do? Because you're one of those people who give a lot of yourself. When in any situation, like, you give a lot of you. You're always, you know, passing out energy. You're always giving that good energy. You're always there to make sure that other people are filled with that light that you provide. But what do you do to recharge that light so that you can provide that for other people?
Exactly what I was just talking about. I'm pretty much am a homebody, but I'm also a people person. I guess you can call me an extroverted introvert. But you're right, I do give a lot of myself because I think that's what my charge is, to just care for people. So what I do is I'll turn on some, I like white noise. I like the sound of rain. I like the sound of birds singing and just the sound of wind. So I will turn on something like that, and I will meditate. And I'm always thinking, and we can't, no matter what we do, we can't turn our thoughts off, but I know how to organize my thoughts. And I will focus on one particular one, and I will, I will allow it to be so big in my head that it will tune out the other thoughts. But sometimes when you can't do that, man, your whole world can get crazy. I will think about really, really good times or think of something silly about myself. I laugh at me all the time. And I will focus on that and just, I'll start to relax. Everything in me will start to release. And if I can't get myself to calm like that, if I'm just overwhelmed, I will close my eyes and imagine, as I breathe in and out, I will imagine breathing in white smoke and breathing out the black smoke. That's all the negativity, and all the positivity is what I inhale. And that's just how I do, you know.
That's what's up. You know, that's what's up. As far as white noise go, I think for me, I need it when I'm going to sleep. Like, it can be freezing cold outside. Like, right now, it's 29 degrees where I'm at. But when I get ready to lay down, I'm going to turn that fan on. And not because I need to feel the air, but I need to hear that noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I get it.
It's a pacifier for me. Well, I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's comforting though. So, goddess, what did you bring for us today?
Okay, so I wrote a piece maybe a week or so ago, and I kind of tweaked it and added some more to it. I don't like to be a Debbie Downer, but it's just that's how I'm feeling. So. It's called After the Love Is Gone.
All right. Well, La Perla Negra, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Because creativity is boundless and imagination is free, I used to sit in reminiscent splendor of big, beautiful, bountiful lovemaking because my body is his religion and we only speak in tongues. With my index and middle fingers playing and twirling freshly done locks, coiled with that spring back bounce. Lately, I can't seem to find a future thought of a love of my own anymore. I mean, I am a big dreamer, so I stay in my head. And I'm loved by the purest ethereal souls ever known to grace this earthly realm. But I realize that I've denied the purity of my heart for so long. My in-love visual has faded off somehow. And I was cool with him remaining faceless in those fantasies, but now I can't even grasp a fantastic fantasy of a simple body anymore. And what's strange is, I'm not even sad about it. I'm actually okay with it. I guess all this love in me is for the next lifetime to be spent. So what do you do after the love is gone? Well, we still fight for it to have some presence to remain and grasp. And pride with some semblance of grace isn't even a thought. Peace I have, the longing. But this is a fight my arms have grown tired in, so I may lose. Because so many times my soul and ego use my heart for their battlefield, no matter the fact that my intentions are pure love. Why do I keep allowing myself to be sucked into a vortex of hurtful clarity when there is no hurt for me to protect myself from? So, belief that there's a need for armor is an unnecessary thing anymore. I've done all the releasing there is to be done. So I say this, after the love is gone, my cry tonight releases the key that is unlocking all chambers of my heart. And I know really pure and true love exists, I've seen it in their eyes, connection when they see each other. And though love is absolute and doesn't cost a thing, the eyes for me to connect to are non-existent. But I still believe in infinite possibilities, though, and that's their peace.
So, I'm a real like sensitive teddy bear type gangster. I'm still a bear, so don't let nobody get confused. I'm a teddy bear, but I'm still a bear, you know.
I hear you.
But like that piece, where did that piece derive? Like what made you write that particular piece? It's because it hit me in a totally different way. It hit me hard, and it's like I totally understand everything that's gone. Because like once the love is gone, like it's, but the journey for that love to leave is so hard.
Yeah, I have a friend that I chose to stay away from because he just kept turning out to be a major disappointment in my life, and I was cool. For a good year, I hadn't spoken to him. He would send me little songs and stuff via inbox, but there was no conversation that took place because I just had given up on expecting him to show up. And I told myself I wasn't going to let myself get in that mode ever again. I wasn't going to allow him to take me there again. And couple of weeks ago, he contacted me and he expressed how he felt. And I said, okay, you know what? I know I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to open up to him one more time. And once again, he gave me a response to what I said. And it hurt my feelings really, really bad. And that's when I just started writing.
I love your pen. I love how you express your feelings and your emotions with your pen. And it's just, I don't know, it felt like you looked in my head and saw the memories of my pain and wrote that piece.
Oh, thank you. Wow. That sounds like a piece right there. The memories of my pain.
You know what? Like, Poets can turn anything into a project.
Okay. Anything. Yeah. Yeah. I think I might feel that right there. I kind of like that. The memory of my pain. Yeah. Talk about
go for it.
Oh, man.
So why don't you tell everybody here in Epiphany Universe what La Perla Negra got going on?
Okay, well, every Wednesday night, you can catch me co-hosting with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Mrs. VIP, in Divas Talk. Now, we got some topics up in the air, but nothing solid just yet. And if we can't figure out anything, it's always an open mic waiting for everybody. So y'all come on by Wednesday night here at Epiphany. And on Monday nights, you can catch me co-hosting with the host of King and Queen Quarters. That is Sergio, a.k.a. King Atterbury. And that is Monday nights here at Epiphany. Back to you, King.
All right, all right. Well, I thank you so much for coming to the Bourbons and Bars Lounge. I'll make sure that we have my most trusted individuals to make sure you get to where you need to go in that VIP section.
Ooh, so, all right. I love it here. I wouldn't miss this.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I appreciate it. They got your drink set up ready. Everything is on the house. Don't worry about it. I hope you left your wallet and everything at home. Everything's on me tonight.
Oh, that's what's up. The hospitality. Yes.
All right, so we're going to get you escorted on there at, we'll say One Love, One Mic.
One Love, One Mic.
Right. That was the incredible La Perla Negra. Once again, you can find her on Wednesdays with Divas Talk with another phenomenal poet and Epiphany family member, Miss VIP. That's Wednesdays. And on Mondays, you will catch her with King Atterbury on King and Queen's Quarters. So we're going to keep things rocking right now, and I'm getting ready to bring up another caller. Area code 901. Who do we have on the line?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this Martell Living Life, a.k.a. Infamous BB from Memphis, Tennessee.
What's up?
What's up, King?
What's up? Oh, hey. I'm pretty sure he does this for a lot of people, man, but it's at the most perfect times, like throughout the week, I'll get these inboxes from her, just bunch of positive messages, man. And they come right on time every time. Man, I thank you so much for showing up.
Yeah. I appreciate you.
I had to jump back. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, things got to, we're going to get this thing popping, you know?
Yeah, this my area right there, mental illness. Lord knows I've been suffering from it ever since I was about 12 years old. Well, a little younger, but, you know, when the doctor stepped in. So I can so relate. And I appreciate Queen before this shared. Thank you. Now I know what white noise is. That's what I love. So thank her for dropping that gem for me. But yeah, I can so relate. The pen has really like saved my life. Saved my life through a lot of trauma, a lot of mental illness, and I still use it today. Today I use it as a form of release and healing, and to keep from harming myself and others. You know. So I depend on the pen. It keeps me sane. That along with my higher power. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
And you know what? I hear that, and I also say that a lot. You know that my pen, me reaching for my pen instead of reaching for my pistol, has saved me from my demise and others. You know, it's that pen, especially as an artist, is so powerful.
Yes, I can so relate. Yes, and that's what, you know what, and that's my gift to my higher power, to keep from harming others. Because you know what, I found out, you know, throughout, you know, growing up, that mental illness, it don't discriminate. It just don't. So it don't care what color or how old you are, because I suffered from an early age, and I had been struggling with it all my life, and I had been suicidal and homicidal as early as 12. So I can relate when I hear youth talking about it. It's something that people need to bring more awareness to it, because it is real.
Definitely is. And that's one of my missions as a poet. I definitely want to bring awareness to it because, like I said, if it wasn't for a support system like Epiphany, you know, I probably wouldn't be on this phone right now. And it's so easy for me now to discuss my emotions. At one point in time, it was hard to, you know, it was hard to do that. But I know my experiences may save someone else. You know? So I got to get it out there. Definitely got to get that word out there. I know you brought some heat for us tonight, though.
Oh, yes, because I write plenty of pieces regarding mental health. Because, like I said, I'd rather put it into the universe and send it out with a prayer and hope that it comes back to me, you know, with some positivity, which it generally does. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm a therapeutic writer. I mean, I'm just not going to go to school to somebody to, you know, I can't rehearse my pain. My pain can't be, you know, it has to come out freestyle and it has to come out raw. That's why I just classify myself as a therapeutic writer and just keep it moving.
There you go. Well, at this point in time, you go ahead and just share with everybody what that fire pen did and let you know that right now the mic is most definitely yours. My bad. You back?
Okay.
All right.
It's called the Madhouse of the Demental. I used to drop behaviors like artists getting dropped from their labels when rap filled the flow. Today, though, with God's help and restraint of tongue, I get to hold what I got, which means not let my words leak pain and to refrain from spewing out further damage onto others. This takes plenty of practice to not cause a reenactment of my former youth. The disrespect is real, though, disguised brutal lashings of another's tongue of their seemingly sarcastic fun. So when it gets reckless, a therapeutic release is my peace, crucial, necessary, and essential for the beast within not to become unleashed and be a verbal homicide. My mental still has hidden rage, subconsciously hiding in a haze that obstructs and turned into a neutron bomb, the madhouse of the demental, especially within my manic phase. Back when I was young, I needed to be dumb numb and had it to remain calm. I was a self-inflicted cutter. Now I cut with phrase and rhymes with words, and I am undisturbed, fucking shit up just with words. The pronoun infamous is my stand-in action verb, which carries an insane creativity of my multiple personality splurge. No need to ponder or wonder. I was undercover with mine. Didn't bother nobody until you fucked with mine. And then that's when our voices begin, plotting your ultimate demise. Harmless? Me? Who? Yeah, right. And so you thought. But I was more afraid of me, because if you had a glimpse into my former mental, then you'd see and say, this motherfucker right here is crazy out of her goddamn mind. And was. Though I ain't so madhouse and demental these days. So just be thanking God. I know I do. I ain't wish for that bullshit. No, this is on God. This is why I am still in awe of him and amazed. Real talk. My spirit still passed around like a demon's chew toy amongst the low energies that started feeling like a doggone viciously wrong that had no clue how. But God, it's the reason why I ain't savage, and now only two voices remain, the one that whispers quietly, that still sickly, and the God-conscious voice that screams louder in my brain.
Ooh-wee. You touched on some subjects that a lot of people will be afraid to talk about, and I thank you so much for your transparency in that piece. Cutting like that, a lot of people, and I have a cousin who I didn't understand it growing up, and I finally got the courage to ask her why would you go to your room and cut your arms? Like, why do you go to your room and cut yourself? And at that age, she told me that she'd rather feel that physical sting than deal with that mental pain. And
nope.
that is tragic. Like, if you rather feel this pain, this sting, because odd razors sting, but you rather go through all of that than to deal with the pain that's going through your head. Like, that's serious. And a lot of us don't look at it as they just write it off. Oh, they're crazy. No, we're hurting. Like, we're asking for help in the only way that we know how. And so I thank you so much for your transparency in that piece. That was a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you.
So right now I'm getting ready to escort you personally to the VIP section over there with La Perla Negra at the Birders and Bars Lounge. I want to thank you so much once again for popping up at Smoking Word. I thank you. And thank you for all of your inspirational inboxes. Like, you have no idea. Like, I don't call and I don't ask. I mean, like, just, you just know that I'm going to need this at that moment. And I thank you so much for that.
I appreciate you.
Well, let me get you escorted over to the VIP section. Thank you again for sharing, love. We have one love, one mic.
Okay. One love, one mic.
Oh man, yeah, we're having a really, really decent time right now, man. Real quick, for all those who are listening, those of you who may be suffering from any mental health issues, whatever it is, just know that you are not alone. There are people, there are resources, there's phone numbers, and believe it or not, there's friends, there's family members who will be there for you. The hardest part is actually opening your mouth to ask for that particular type of help. And I can understand that at times that can be hard for anyone to do in those situations. But I promise you, find someone. Find someone who you can get those things off of your chest, because I promise you, we want you here. We want you to stay here. You know, no one checks out early. That's what we're doing. So we're going to continue real quick. Let's see who we have next on the mic and getting ready to open up area code 334. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, love, it's Liz.
Hey, what's up, Miss Liz?
Hey, baby. I could not miss your show. You know I'm always here.
I appreciate that so much. Truly, truly honored. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. No need to complain.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, I would like to know something, Miss Lips.
Okay.
What do you do for the benefit of your mental health?
There's a bunch of little things that I do, depending on how bad it is for the day. But when I was younger and I lived right off the edge of the Chesapeake Bay, whenever everything would get the better of me, I would go to the end of town and park at the docks and walk all the way out to the end of the longest dock and sit there, because it put perspective on me. Because I'm sitting there at the end of this dock looking out at all this water and all this infinite sky, and I think to myself, my problems cannot be that big in this vastness. So it would calm me down enough to be rational.
So you like scenery helps relax. I like that. I wish,
yeah,
I can really get into, if I can really just get into nature like that. If I'm sitting by that much water, I probably got a fishing pole. But that's relaxing too.
Yeah, and that is a form of therapy for some people. I just like going out there. I have a certain fear of water. A cousin of mine drowned when I was a teenager, and he drowned like right in a spot where we all used to hang out. We were all at the docks because that's kind of the only thing to do. And he went to jump onto somebody's boat and missed how far the jump was and fell between the boat and the dock. And after that, I had this real fear of water. I never learned to swim. I grew up in a water town and never learned to swim based off of seeing him, because he was a good swimmer, but he hit his head going down and there was no retrieving him at that point.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That's actually one of my biggest fears, and I'm former Navy, and I've always had a fear of the water, but it was an easy way out the hood at the time, and I went for it.
Yeah, but you know, when you look out, and you can do that in several spaces. I find myself here now that I'm in Tuskegee, taking a ride, you know, because it's uphill and downhill, but the sky is always so vast and big. And I think that has become my replacement. Instead of looking at the water, I can look at the sky and see how big and bright and beautiful and vast and endless that the sky really is. And it kind of puts in perspective, your problems can't be but so big if you're this little speck on this gigantic planet. There has to be a way to fix it.
You're absolutely right. And I've never looked at it like that, but that makes a lot of sense. Like, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Thank you. That was a hell of a perspective.
You're welcome. I always tell my friends, whenever you're in a situation or you don't know which way to turn or things are bad, I always stop in the middle of it and I go, okay, God, what is this lesson you're trying to teach me right here? You know, there has to be a lesson in it. There's a reason why you're going through these things.
Well, Miss Lips, this is one of my favorite questions to ask you, because I always know there's something that's going to come behind this question. What did you bring for us tonight?
This was a piece from me having a bad day, and I wrote this piece called The Journey That Leads to Nowhere.
Okay. Well, Ms. Lips, the mic is yours.
Thanks. Oppressed under the storms of life, I can't see why I need to continue. But there's something that won't allow me to lay down. So here I sit, in constant pain, tired of the game with no will to live, but too afraid to die. I pray, but never get answers. Wondering if I'm talking to God or the ceiling. How can nothing I've done in decades show fruition? Yet I'm still here, feeling like there's something left undone. So I speak out loud. God, or whoever may be listening, please tell me why I'm still breathing, or stop it for someone more deserving. I can't keep wandering alone in the dark, not knowing my mission. Then I breathe out slowly, trying to push all the air from my lungs. Because if it isn't for me to be here, then why? But I'm starting to feel a burning within as my focus fades in and out. And in spite of the fact that I can't see where my place is, I can't let go. The will to inhale is stronger than my physical desire to fade away. So I'll fight through one more storm till dawn clears the sky and begin again on the journey that leads to nowhere. I'm Lips, and you just in service.
Amazing as usual. What pushed that pen? What pushed that piece?
I wrote this piece just before I got evicted from my place in Norfolk and didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to do. And shortly after I wrote this piece, my girlfriend called and said, well, why don't you come here with me? And that's what led me to Tuskegee. So when everything was hitting the fan and the whole world was turning upside down, and I literally had not spoken to her in over a year, and she just popped up out of nowhere and offered me a home. And so, you know, at this point, I didn't know where I was going or what I was going to do or if I was going to have anywhere to be. You know, once again, pulled back from the brink.
Man, these pieces tonight are really, I'm so glad people are actually coming out and really speaking about how they're feeling and their emotions. Like, emotions and feelings are a very, very powerful thing, and they can create and they can destroy. And so I thank you. Like, that journey that ends nowhere, that's amazing, Lisa.
Like you, I can't even say Miss Lips right now. That's amazing, Lisa. Beautiful piece, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just, well, like you said earlier, you know, we're all writers for a reason. We pour ourselves out in our pen. And that has been my therapy since childhood, is to be able to write it down. You know, sometimes it's just the fact of taking it out of your head and putting it on paper just changes the whole perspective of it.
I thank you for your gift. And I'm sure there's people out there who heard your piece and the pieces of everyone else so far, and they're taking it in. They're being fed. You know, they're being fed. If nothing else, they're being fed hope to know that, you know, you can make it. So I thank you for that. But I would love for you to tell everybody what you got going on in Epiphany.
Listen, these Friday night shows are starting to be real fire. I think I'm going to try and figure out how to do features more often, because that went really well. But not this Friday, but next Friday is another edition of the Inkwell. I'm on every other Friday at 9 Eastern right here on Epiphany. And our question is, what moves your pen? Bring us whatever piece you're feeling and explain to us what made you write it.
No doubt, no doubt. So make sure I'm going to hit that up. You said not this Friday, but next Friday.
Yeah,
we have the
Friday
Inkwell.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I pop in the building for that right there.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to see if it's okay to have your permission to take you hand in hand and see if I can walk you to the VIP of the Bourbons and Bars Lounge.
Well, you know, I've always had a crush on you. I am like the greatest fangirl. So taking you by the hand is a privilege, whether you lead me to the lounge or wherever.
All right. That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, let's head to the lounge and let's just see where it goes.
Okay.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
All right, all right. All right, everybody, that was Miss Lisa Lips. Once again, every other Friday, not this Friday, it will be next Friday. You can hit her up 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for the Inkwell, where they will be wanting to know what moves your pen. Bring your piece, spit your piece, and let her know what made you write that piece. So I'm getting ready to open up one more mic before I get up out of here and pay some bills real quick, and then we'll come back and finish up the show. So right here I have my brother, another Louisiana native, you know, but we call it the Boot. Open the mic for 318, Mr. Lewis Speaks. What's up, bro?
What's up, my brother? What's good with you, man? What's good?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Sitting here enjoying the night. People coming through, rocking it, beating the mic up, man. I'm enjoying myself.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
So, Mr. Lewis Speaks, I would love to know, man, like, because you're another one of those people who, you know, you give a lot of yourself. You're there. You've been there for me a couple times. I've gone through some things. You were like, hey, bro, you know, woo, woo, woo. You know, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my little cracked heart, man. I appreciate that. But I want to know, what do you do for yourself, for your mental health?
Man, you're from the area, so what I need to get into my quiet time, Cross Lake does it for me. Is it going to be Cross Lake or Toledo Bend? I got to be near some water. It gives me peace, you know, tranquility. I have a notebook. I get out there and put everything in that notebook, anything I'm feeling, just, you know, that's me working out, boxing, whatever I need to do just to get me, you know, to the place. Because I, too, have suffered, you know, I dealt with PTSD. And it's not, it's, It's not something that's easy, but I thank God that I'm an overcomer.
I feel that. I feel that. Like, PTSD is, when I first heard it, I'll be honest with you, when I first heard about PTSD, I thought it was an excuse for my uncle to act the way he act, and people just, you know, that's just how he is. I thought that's what that was until I was diagnosed and was like, wow, like, this is something real. This is something hard to deal with. this makes life a little bit more interesting and not the greatest way, you know? Yeah, that's, man, and boxing, you're a pretty active guy when it comes down to relieving your stress, I see.
I got to. I don't do other things that I used to do anymore, if you catch my drift, Tri Five.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know what I mean? I don't do that. So I had to do something that, to where I could just release all this frustration. So right in the box near the water, I just got to do something, you know. And I'm glad that you got a show like this tonight, because there's a lot of people out there that suffer in silence. But like you said, you know, you're not alone. You know, tell somebody. You never know, somebody else might be going through it, or somebody else might have been in that place to where they can talk you through and walk you through where you need to get to, you know. Yeah, so, yeah.
What's up? That's what's up, man. Well, I want to say I'm glad that you are my brother. I'm glad that you are my friend, because you are someone that I know that if I need to, I can reach out to. So I thank you for being mentally and emotionally available, you know, when I'm not available for myself. I thank you for that.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Not a problem.
All right. So Ms. Lewis speaks. I know your pen was pushed. So I know you brought some fire for us tonight.
Yeah, I got a little something for you, man. You know, the fact that you're doing this show about mental illness, I had to go back in the bag. And it's kind of like special, because this is the very first piece I did on your first show.
Oh, man.
So I said, how fitting for this show tonight. So if you all would just close your eyes for a minute and let me use your mind as a canvas for me to paint this piece on.
All righty. Well, get to painting, brother. The mic is yours.
Thank you, my brother. To all of you all out there in Epiphany Land, I call this piece Free. You don't know the pain behind my smile. I suffered in silence like a hitman's gun. With so many thoughts running through my head, my brain is on a 26-mile marathon. I've been trapped inside this supermax prison of my mind for some time, and believe me, it's tough. Friends have been wondering why I haven't been communicating with them, and there's no connection, even with these bars up. Locked into this state of mind for 23 hours a day, with only 1 hour outside for the sun to shine on me. Then I was reminded that even in my lowest valleys, in my darkest days, that the sun still shines on me. He reminded me that his love will always overcome anything that I'm currently in. He reminds me of who image I was created in, that the Most High loves me and calls me his friend. He said, son, the things that you experience right now are only just a test. You have been equipped with the tools you need to give it your best. Ease your mind when you're weak. Lean on me and I'll be strong. This is a test of your faith, and this trial won't last long. Satan has been acting as the prosecution, bringing up all of your flaws to me. And I tell you, I'm aware, but my son is advocated on your behalf, so the verdict is not guilty. Satan said, what? You got to be kidding. God said, he who the son sets free is free indeed. My child, my love for you is real. Become the man that I called you to be. There's so much greatness inside of you. You're like Fort Knox with a gift so strong that Satan is constantly trying to steal. So cry no more. Time to become an effective agent of change. Put your trust in me. No more doubting. No more reliving the pain of your past. It's a new day. It's a new you. And it's time to be free. I'm Mr. Lewis Speaks. You've just been spoken to.
Now that's dope. That's a dope piece. I think we've all had been in those situations or been in those positions. Like, I think we was all told growing up, don't question God. But I don't think I question him, but I do ask some questions about me to him because he knows me better than me. You know, I've had my wars, my church hurt and all of that, man, but I know in the end, I know who got me. You know, so I thank you. I thank you, man, for that piece. I love that piece, bro. Like I really love that piece, bro.
Man, blessings.
I want you
brother,
to record
blessings.
It.
I just
want
to be a blessing to in all out there because, you know, a lot of people out here, they do suffer in silence. I suffered in silence. Mm. For those who don't know me, this time 11 years ago, I was paralyzed from the waist down, brother. Trust me. This was an ordeal to really go through. And I had times that even after I was trying to come back from spinal fusion and I was battling this and battling the divorce at the same time, that I got to my lowest point and I tried to commit suicide. But thank God that God was like, nah, I got work for you to do. You don't get to decide when you go. And I thank God that I had people praying on my behalf. You know, that also saw the greatness in me and saw the gift that I possessed. You know, because had that would have happened, we wouldn't be on the phone right now. So, but I thank God, man.
Thank you for your transparency. Like, it's hard, especially as black men, man. It's hard to express those feelings and express those emotions and even tell people that you even felt like at the moment you wanted to take yourself out, man. But I thank you so much. You had what a lot of us down south had that we didn't understand what we had until, you know, later on in life. But it was an old song that the lady just kept on saying in the song that she had a praying grandmother. And that woman, my grandmother, I'm so glad of the relationship she had with the Most High because I didn't have it. I felt like I'll, you know, try to talk, try to pray. He ain't listen to me. And that's how I felt growing up. But I know if he ain't listen to nobody else, he listened to that woman up. Like she had a direct line to him, you know, and it was, so I totally get it, man. That suffering in silence is probably is part of the reason why suicide amongst black men has actually doubled since 2011. From 2011, the research that I was looking up from 2011 to 2021, our suicide percentage has doubled because we're taught to suffer in silence. You know, and that's just not okay anymore. That's just not okay anymore.
No.
Are you still a man if you tell somebody you hurting? You hurting. You're a human. You know, so I thank you for that piece, brother. I thank you so much for that piece. I know it's going to, it touched somebody like it was supposed to.
Right, right. Definitely that.
Well, I see one of my people walking over this way, ready to escort you to the VIP. Whatever you want is already there. I promise you there's nothing you can request that we can't get for you. So we're going to go ahead and head you down to the... Oh, yeah, head to it, man. You already know what it is. It's the boot, baby. Yeah. Go get you a hand grenade.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Hey, thanks again for coming, man. I appreciate you. One love, one mic.
Yeah. One love, one mic, brother. Be blessed.
Same. All right, man. That was my brother from my 318. Brother, Mr. Lewis speaks, man. Very, very positive brother, man. So I'm going to step out of here for just a second, man. Just give me about a minute, you know, pay these bills real quick, and I'll be right back to open these mics right back up.
Bye. the For Real Entertainment Network. Your poetry outlet. The next phase is online radio. Epiphany.
From one amazing tune to the other.
Epiphany.
I'm sorry. Can y'all hear me? I'm just running my mouth and no one heard me. I apologize, everybody. I apologize. Please forgive me, Epiphany. So let me go back through that one more time. I'm sorry. For those of you who are listening online or for those of you who have just joined us, I want to welcome you to the Bourbon and Bars Lounge as Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, presents Smoking Word Open Mic hosted by Paul Cram, the poet. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300 and press 1 so you can blaze that mic. The question that I am going to ask you is, I want to know, what do you do for yourself to promote, you know, good mental health? This show is sponsored by Rawlings LLC. Why be average when you can be raw? Some beautiful, beautiful jewelry. If you don't know how to get to it, look up my boss, Mr. Arthur Larry Maddox, or you can hit up anybody from Epiphany and we can direct you to where you're supposed to go. All right, so we're going to get back into it with our next caller, area code 515. Who do we have on the line?
It's Taylor, or you can call me TT for short.
Oh, what's up, TT?
Hey, baby.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You might hear some background voice. I do have my friend's daughter with me. So today, y'all been a little friendly. I'm going to bring it in here with a little bit of anger because that's what I do. That's what the paper's for. It takes my anger out of me.
That's what's up. I was just getting ready to ask you, like, so is that part of the process of what you do to promote good mental health for you?
It is. I cook, I write, I read. And I perform. That's what takes the anger out of me because, you know, little people got the most anger because we don't got a big enough body to hold it all for real.
You know, I never heard it put like that, but I'm gonna use that for my 5'8" frame to say that's why I raged out. You know, I couldn't hold it all. That's what's up.
But crashed out since I was 6, so I went and learned how to write when I was 6. So today we're speaking for the people who have really bad parents, but everybody tells us you only got one mom, you only got one dad. But you know what? They only got one you. And it was their sole purpose in life to do right by you. And if they didn't do right, it's only right that you, they got less, you know? So whenever you're ready, I'm going to spit.
All right. Well, TT, the mic is yours.
All right. I don't talk to my brother anymore, but let's talk about the horde. The things you made him endure while pretending to be so pure. Let's talk about when that man used to make me gasp for air and you just stood there. Let's talk about the drugs that were in my system. Did you tell them what was in our drinks and about all those missing links? Or did you tell them how I didn't wake up for 2 whole days? You're a real monster hiding in plain sight, never even legally handed over your rights, just giving me to whoever offers their night. You conned me and you robbed me. I told you I wanted to die, but you never listened because drugs, dick, and money always had your attention. It wasn't until I was 15 and 16 years I started standing up to those men you let in. You covered for them. You were never a source of protection. Thanks to your decisions, I now attract pieces of shit with some sort of addiction. I don't care your reason. You never picked me. You just blame me for leaving. You'd rather spend your holidays with the men who molested me. And when I try to make you take some accountability, you refer to your mistakes as a necessity. I was only born to save a marriage that was long deceased, a planned pregnancy. You chose to create me, but still for some reason you hate me. You're the reason for my birth, but never once have you seen my worth. I'm not the one to blame, and you should be more than ashamed. I was just a pawn in your sick little game. My life didn't stop when I finally said game over, just your role. I still have my soul. I graduated early with good grades, homeless, working nights. I bought a house, and I won my trial. I made meaningful bonds with people who chose me every day, and they care what I have to say. I still cry, but I get up, I take my ass to work, and I take care of my family. I did what needed to be done, and best believe, I've only just begun. I did it with the cards that I was dealt, and I do it every day without feeling sorry for myself. I do it by and for myself. I'm not a victim. I'm just a self-made boss handling business. You walked out before you could even see who I was going to be. And after you left, the universe took me in, carrying me. I'm strong, I'm independent, and I'm loving. I'm nothing like you, and that's my favorite thing about me. I'm overly blessed to have found the ones that I can call my family. And I left you alone, and we will never speak again. I blocked your number, and we won't speak again until your eternal slumber. That's for the kids who had to do it by themselves. And that's all I got for you guys today.
Man. So just letting everybody know to be a little candid about the situation. So when I've never physically met this young lady. We live in the same city, but we've been having correspondence through Facebook. And when she let me know that she was a writer, you know, I was like, okay, cool, you know, I would like for you to come to this show, blah, 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 blah. She was a little timid at first, but this is not the first show she's been on. Like, she has come to Epiphany a couple times, and I thank you. Your pieces, I want to, like, when you wrote this piece here, and like you said, you wrote this piece out of anger. When you finished writing the piece, how did you feel?
I feel a lot better writing to paper, and I put in my other poems. I'd rather write and speak to the guys and listen to another lie. Because talking to my mom, it never works, bro. Like, I talked to my mom, I'm not going to lie, last December was the last time I talked to her, and before that it was like 4 years. I haven't seen this woman in 5 years. My mom has no idea what my name is, where I live, who was in my circle, my favorite colors, none of that shit. Like, my mom is such a waste of space. I hate to say it, but it's true. And everyone always like, that's your mom, that's your mom. No, I'm her kid, and she didn't do not shit right by me, not shit. And talking to paper is a lot easier because when you talk to a narcissist that convinces themselves that their lies are true, you're talking to a wall. You might as well talk to the sky. And I wrote, and I tried to talk to an adult, and I was like, Mom, why did you do this? And she just, oh, that happened to you? Like she didn't have a front row seat. And so talking to paper, it got to get it off my chest without having an excuse get thrown back at me.
What I do want to tell you, though, because like we say, we've been running it. Keep writing. Keep getting that out of you. Your healing is not for anyone else but you. Your forgiveness of others who have hurt you is not for any of them. It's for you. You know, I'm not rushing you. I'm not going to tell you. No, you're going to do everything in due time. In the meantime, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do is keep that pen on that paper because your pain is going to produce a lot of beauty. I love your writing. I love your pen.
Thank you. Thank you. And if there's time at the end, I'll perform another one if we got some empty space to fill. Just let me know.
No problem. We do got some space. I'll hit the block if we can. In the meantime, you make sure you hit me up with some new ink in that inbox. I haven't seen nothing in a while.
Oh, I got a couple pieces. I found them today.
All right. No doubt.
I found some pieces you haven't seen.
All right. Well, I'll be looking forward to it.
All right.
All right. So I'm getting ready to escort you over to the VIP lounge, VIP inside of the Infamous Bourbon and Bars Lounge. Once again, I want to thank you for coming out to Spoken Word and sharing a piece of yourself with everybody. One love, one mic. Oh, man. Whew. Yeah. I hear that a lot. And she's absolutely right. You know, we all have, you know, you just have this one mom. You just have this one dad. You just have this, you know, whatever. But toxic is toxic, you know, and that is what it is, you know, that's a stigmata with a lot of families where family members are doing some things that shouldn't be done and we sweep it under the rug because that's Uncle Jimbo or
that's your dad or that's your grandpa. No, this person is affecting my mental health. So whether it's, if it's my mother, if it's my father, if it's something that is affecting my peace, that is a problem and that has to be dealt with. So once again, TT, thank you so much for bringing that peace out there. You know, everybody has their own journey, and I'm so glad to be to witness your healing. So the next call we getting ready to bring in, area code 216. Who do we got on the line?
We have Classy Poet, darling.
Ooh-wee.
Hey, how are Clay. You?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm blessed.
Oh man, it feels good hearing your voice again, man. We're gonna have to get back on this writing. We gotta do some more things.
Yes. We do. I've been talking
all right,
about
so.
It. I've been called upon 2-3 times.
Yeah, we made a little magic together.
Yes, we did.
So tell me, Classy, what do you do for your mental health?
Write is a good escape for me. Meditate. I have frequent talks with God. You know, sometimes I say I call on him so much I think he put me on hold.
I've never heard that one.
That's yeah. You know, little spot day
up,
here
man.
And there. Sometimes
oh,
it's just me, quiet space, and just some nice, smooth jazz. And it just writes them up.
Well, I noticed as there's a theme seems to be going on, which I'm really not shocked about. You know, we're writers, so a lot of us do escape a lot of our pains and things through that pen. So it's definitely therapeutic. It's life saving for a lot of us. It really is.
Yes, it is. Lord knows it has saved my life a lot.
Whew, you're telling me. Man.
So yeah, definitely. Dark times in my life. My darkest was when I lost my father in 2020. And I kind of put it away. I kind of given it up. I thought I couldn't anymore because I had such a blockage after he left here because he was my cheering section. When he first started reading me. Because at the time, neither one of my parents really were into poetry. They didn't really read it. So they didn't really understand it. But then I started reading some to my father. And he was like, okay. Oh, that makes some sense. And the hardest thing for me is I didn't get published before he left.
Well, I don't. He's proud. That's what I do know. Like it's one of those things that we. I don't. I guess it's just human instinct. We try to find something like that, to hold on to. I've even told my therapist that. I grew up hating my father and never understanding why I hated him. It's just everybody else around me had a problem with him, and that's how I grew up having a problem with him. And when I got old enough to understand that I didn't have a dog in the fight that they had, their reasons for hating him was different, I couldn't let go of that hatred because if I let go of that hatred, then I have nothing else to hold on to for my father.
Yes.
And so I continue to hold that anger and hold that hurt for a man that I honestly didn't even know.
Yeah.
But I had nothing else to hold on to because that was my dad. You know, so.
You know, I said the other day about that I had spent some time with my sons listening to them, and they wanted me to voice a piece from their hearts and from their thoughts. And we just got to writing. And I posted in a group, and I really appreciate you guys that are fathers that came in and answered the question for my son, what is fatherhood like for you? Because he just wanted to know what it was like, to know how other fathers felt about their kids, because he blamed his son. And he wasn't to blame at all.
Well, let me ask you, a different question, Classy. And this is the question that I'm looking forward to the answer to. I know you brought something hot for us tonight, right?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I just know. Great. That's what I'm looking forward to. Bet. Well, Classy Poe, it is my honor to let you know that the mic is yours.
All right. Now, this is going to be a little different coming for me because it's not a hot piece. It's technically about PTSD and a couple of relatives in my life, one in which I lost about 10 years ago, and the other which, thank God, she got past it and is living an excellent life. This is kind of from both of them, sitting down and having a good conversation. It's called Just by PTSD. I tell you, my chest feels heavy. So heavy, please stop crushing me. The weight of the world is on my shoulder. My life is a boulder. I'm rolling. Why won't the pain go away? Why won't it stop? You say calm down. I cannot catch my breath. I'm breathing rapidly. Why won't you listen? I am afraid. I am trapped. The walls are closing in on me. I cannot see. You say calm down. The feeling will go away. That's not helping me. My head hurts. It is though you are punching me. You are just yelling at me. Then you are ignoring me. I'm in physical pain. Mental pain is stuck in my brain. Oh, the pain. You say calm down. It's all in my head. I'm being mental again. My heart is racing. My throat is tight. I cannot breathe. My words are caught deep in my throat 24 hours a day. My head is spinning. I'm trembling. All I do is pray. I want to talk, but no one listens. You say calm down. You just want attention. There's nothing wrong. Stop being so dramatic. You don't understand. You say it's just my PTSD, my self-depression. You don't realize this is a part of me. It's the little things that make this tragic for me. Everything is traumatic. PTSD is inside me, and I cannot break free. There are tears and fears and screams echoing inside of me. I am shattered. I am broken. I am alive, yes, but inside I am dying, slowly being tortured by my own emotions. Depression has my mind having killer conversations. Every time I close my eyes, I find myself in the same situation. To live or to die, that's the question. Help me. Save me. Talk me down. I'm on the edge. God, please help me. Mental illness is real. If only you could know how I feel. And that's it.
Oh, man. Can you... Is it possible for you to go over that line again that says that you were tortured by your own emotions?
I'm shattered. I'm broken. I am alive, yes, but inside I am dying, slowly being tortured by my own emotion.
That right there is a battle that if you haven't gone through that battle, you would never understand why people act the way that they act. Like that, I feel like I could stand toe-to-toe with any man that stands in front of me, win or lose. I'm not running. I'm not scared. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But when I have to look in the mirror and face that demon that lives inside of me, I cower up. Like that is, my emotions are so strong. And when they are on a rampage, that's exactly how I feel. Like I feel like I'm being tortured by my own emotions. And wow. Like that's, man, that's a hell of a piece.
Thank you.
People don't realize mental illness is out here and it's real. Listen to people when they are talking to you and they're telling you they're not all right. Even when they tell you they're all right. If you know somebody, you know, even when they say I'm all right, they not.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
That I'm all right and I'm okay is probably my favorite lie to tell people when they ask me how I'm doing. And it's like I don't want to burden you with everything that's a burden to me. So I'm okay. I'm all right. And I feel like if I can say it with a smile or if I can sound chipper enough to convince you, you will leave me alone and I can suffer in silence. And that's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, thank you so much for coming through with that piece. Like that piece spoke to me in so many ways.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to escort you to the VIP lounge if that's okay with you. I'm not going to have anybody else take you. I'm going to take you myself. Is that cool?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
All right. So I'm getting ready to take you down to the VIP, that's to the Bourbon and Bars Lounge. We're going to get ready to bring in another caller in just a moment. And we got to figure out something else to do as far as this writing goes. You know, I'm working on this little album, so we're going to have to do a little talking.
All right. Absolutely. You know where to find me.
No doubt. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
All right, everybody. That was Classy Poet bringing in a phenomenal piece. I am really, really enjoying the transparency. Like people are really, you guys are calling in and y'all speaking your truth about mental illness. You're speaking your truth about your emotions and your feelings. And I thank you for that because there's people who are listening who at this point in time may not have that courage to say, hey, I'm broken. Hey, I'm hurting. Please, I need someone to have an ear, you know, just be there for me. There are some people who are listening who don't have that strength yet, who don't have that courage yet. Hell, 3-4 months ago, I didn't have it. You know, 3-4 months ago, I was pretty much at my lowest. February is probably the hardest month of my entire life, and I'm 41 years old. And February almost killed me, like literally almost killed me because I chose to suffer in silence. And we don't have to. The next call I'm getting ready to bring up, we have area code 815. Who do we have on the line?
Happy Tuesday, it's Gina Storm.
Hey, I love you. I love you.
Likewise.
Oh man, I do. Like your energy is always like, I don't believe a person can really have a bad day around you if they try. You know, it's just I love you so much. And thank you so much for
coming to Smoking Word tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I was so happy to make it. I was like, woohoo, I'm here. And then I was like, oh, no, I don't hear nothing. And I was like, oh, no, I don't hear nothing. Then I heard Little Parlor Negro. I was like, you know what? We might be okay. Let's go.
Yeah, that was, you know what? So I keep on this board. I'm noticing my phone has a small delay when I go from the red mic to the blue earphone for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just pressing mute on my phone and forgot to unmute it both times.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely.
Definitely,
absolutely.
Definitely me. So, Gina
yes,
Storm, the question,
mm-hmm.
the question for the night is, what do you do for your mental health? What do you do for to preserve your mental health?
I do a number of things. Like all the poets, we as creatives, we like to be in tune with nature. I prefer the moon to the sun. I like to be around water. The closest body of water to me, large body anyway, is Lake Michigan. So there are lots of beaches in Chicago that I frequent, you know, sporadically and with a smaller population than normal. Some of those ones that's in the cut with just the old people know about, that's where I like to be. I love laughter. I think that sometimes when you laugh as much as I do, because I have several friends, one in particular who has dubbed me Giggles, I think his goal is, so I try to see how many times he can get me to laugh. But laughter does a lot of wonderful things. Laughter recalibrates your lungs. Laughter regulates your blood pressure. Laughter burns calories. Smiling does too. So being positive helps me tremendously, probably more than anything that I do physically other than those two things, which are very minor. And it doesn't cost me anything, and no one is harmed in the process. Just, you said, when I see somebody sad and we make eye contact, I smile. And sometimes I punctuate my conversation with a giggle. So those things, spending time with my loved ones and cooking for me is so therapeutic. Like I could just be in the kitchen chopping and slicing. You know, I have cutting boards filled with different vegetables that I'm going to put in containers because I'm going to use this onion for this and that pepper for another thing, but I want to get all the miso plus out the way early so that when it's time for me to cook, I just make the magic happen. So, yeah, that's it.
That's what's up. I never looked at cooking as being therapeutic, but I noticed that when I am in the kitchen, you know, I have my music going. I don't let nobody in the
yes.
kitchen. The kids go do what they do, and that's, I am in my own zone. So I never looked at it as something therapeutic, but it truly is.
Yes, yes. It's a whole vibe. Not only that, but have you ever seen somebody in the kitchen and they're angry and they're cooking? Like cooking while mad?
You know what? I haven't.
Me neither. So see what I'm talking about right there? That's the magic of cooking. You can't be flipping pancakes and gangbanging. You can't be.
Oh, man. We got cat wings gangbanging on bacon.
We ain't gangbanging on pancakes, bro. We chilling in the kitchen. Like you said, usually there's music involved. I like that. Here at my mom's, there's a skylight. I like to actually stand underneath the skylight, and that's my favorite part of the countertop, so that I can bask in the rays. Just like I'm outside, only everybody knows I don't really go out there. But hey, you know what? Different strokes, different strokes.
That's what's up. All right, Gina Storm, I know you have something for us tonight, and I cannot wait to see how you destroy this microphone. No pressure.
I've heard so many amazing pieces, and they delved into different parts of mental health and mental well-being, mental illness, and things that we as a people need to discuss openly and honestly every day. So I'm just going to throw a couple of them in together. We're going to call it a mashup, so that I don't. Oh, wait a minute. What am I gonna call this? Oh, here's this. Inner child. I'm going off the dome because I couldn't find anything I wanted to read.
All right. Well, the mic is most definitely yours.
Thank you. Inner child, hello? Are you there? Can you hear me? Are you okay? Inner child doesn't answer me right away. She's still hurt and angry about some of the things that happened back in the day when we had to stay in a child's place and just couldn't stay. Now, there were things that my mother always told me about if you were talking to a family member and they touch you inappropriately, if they touch certain parts of your body, if something goes wrong in your tummy, you start to feel sick just because they're in your presence, then that needs to be discussed immediately. This wasn't just a topic for me, but for my brothers as well, because sometimes that relative, family, friend isn't exactly kin, but you still call them auntie and uncle the same way that you do your mother and father's brothers and sisters. They always want to kiss you a little extra, hold you and hug you a little longer, even every now and then ask you to sit on their lap. But my mama was no, none of that. So every time I would go back in the recesses of my mind, I would hear these memories, stories being shared by girls and boys who had been touched here or there, inappropriateness that had taken place, molestation and rape. One of my cousins had a baby at 9. The father was her mother's boyfriend at the time. She said her mom blamed her and did not stand up for her. And even though the state agency came in to ask questions about the third grader even get pregnant, well, we know how pregnancies take place, but this should have never happened by any means. For her mom not to listen to her or to have her back or to see and hear the voice that this child was being handcuffed, restrained, and trapped. You would go to work and then you would just leave her and he would do whatever he wanted to her, this or that. All of that breaks my heart. But for all of the inner children who no one ever spoke up for, there was no advocate. You had no relative that you could speak with. There was no teacher or no friend in the neighborhood that you could tell this thing that was happening to you that was no good. I hear you. I've heard those cries and screams many times before. I have been looking out for children and people who are less fortunate when you're older or when you've been embattled in a marriage that's filled with pain and violence. So were you. That childhood trauma that you've been holding on to for so long, you can heal, move forward, and have a productive, healthy relationship as an adult. I'm just sorry, inner child, that I wasn't there at the time. I'm Gina Storm. Thank you for indulging me. In peace.
Now that piece, Gina, of all the pieces that I've ever heard, and I've been a fan of yours for a long time, like all the way back to the collab with Storm's Cadence. Like, I've been a fan of yours for so long, and this is absolutely the most favorite thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth. Like, this piece was so powerful to me. A lot of us are walking around, honestly, with unhealed inner children, you know, that. A lot of the issues that are going on like this, and no one really speaks on it, you know.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, people for decades would say, what happens in this house stays in this house. Well,
yeah.
You tell me. I'm telling, so feel free to tell me. Any child who needs an ear, a shoulder, a tissue, a comfort, some of the things I would mention, but that would go into me failing anger management again. But I'm just saying, these kids have to be able to speak. They have to be able to be heard. They have to be able to tell. And there are women in situations at work where they're being, you know, inappropriately touched, and they say that, you know, HR is going to take care of you. But sometimes things fall through cracks, and depending on who it is in the company, it still takes place. So we just have to be very cognizant of the things that we're around and the people that we expose our children and our loved ones to and how we react to it. And always, always believe a child when they say that this, that, or the third happened. They kids don't make that kind of stuff up. So I just want to give my part
share as much as I could on the topic because I had a newsflash where a friend of mine was upset because she had found out that her sister had been molested. And it was almost as though she felt betrayed by her sister for not telling her. And her sister said, I let him touch me so he wouldn't bother you. Can imagine growing up with that kind of pain, that kind of trauma, that kind of secret on my heart or whatever took place to that child's body. So just, you know, let's just take care of each other, love each other, and take care of these children.
You're so right, so right, man. Whew. Well, Gina, thank you so much for that piece again. Thank you so
You're
much
welcome.
For that piece
You're
and
welcome.
Your insight on this subject. But can you please let everyone know what you got going?
Yes. So we were just on the 23rd. So not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, catch myself and Just Jay. It's the Just Jay and Gina show Saturday night at 8 Central, 9 Eastern, 319-527-6300 is call the number. Hit that one, join the conversation. We have interviews and not features, so our interviewee is going to be I just went blank. They were cool. Jade. We have Jade. So, I'm sorry. Can't remember your pen name right now, Jade. But, yeah, love you just the same. We will be promoting throughout the next 2 weeks so that when it is our time to come in, you will know how to catch us, where to find us. And by all means, press that one and join the conversation. And if you'd like to hear the PJs, which are myself and Jess J, with Poem Jockeys, spin your spoken word track. Send it to Jess, J-U-S, J, J-A-E, Gina, G-E-N-A, all one word, all lower cap, Joe, at Gmail, and we'll be happy to get you a notation.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah, someone hit me up and let me know that they actually heard one of my pieces in your rotation. So I want to say thank you for that. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome. I play that whenever we. I don't just play the tracks that people send us when we get them. I listen to them on my playlist every day. So yeah, you got some good stuff in there. La Perla Negra, thank you for your contribution. Everybody. At Epiphany, and if you're listening and you haven't done so, by all means, check us out and send us an MP3, and then you'll be shocked when you hear yourself on the radio.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, I'm going to escort you over to the VIP section of the Bourbon and Bars Lounge. Anything that you're looking for, I promise you we got it there for you.
I appreciate that. One love, one mic. Amazing show, by the way.
One love, one mic. Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome. Right.
That was the amazing Gina Storm. Once again, next Saturday, Just Jay and Gina Show, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Epiphany, 319-527-6300. And press 1 to jump in queue and get it in. All right, so we have another caller, another hand raised, and I'm sorry, that hand just went away, look like. So I'm going to do a little bit of discussion really quick. So we've been hitting mental health. We've been talking about mental health and, you know, things of that nature. I do want to say that, again, you're not alone, people. You're definitely not by yourself. You know, everyone goes through something. Some people deal with adversity better than others deal with it, which is true. Like, no one is weak. No one is anything of that nature. Just, you never know how strong you are. Bob Marley said it. You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only option. And for a lot of us, we're at that point where being strong is our only option. But continue to be strong. Do what works. For a lot of us, I've been hearing tonight, writing works. You know, if you don't want to write, you know, find something, find someone. When you're feeling like there's no one to talk to, and you're having those thoughts, those deep dark thoughts where you don't want to be here no more. Man, there's numbers, there's resources that you can call. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, that number is 1-800-273, again, that's 1-800-273-8255. Or if you don't even feel like hearing their voice or want them to hear yours, you can text that same prevention lifeline at 741-741 for any anonymous and free counseling. You know, so also, there's the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI for short, and they have resources. That number is 800-662-HELP. Again, that's 800-662-4357. So we have a little bit of time. I'm going to play a little song real quick, man. You know, this has been a great, great, great night, you guys, and I appreciate everyone who has shown up, who has shown their transparency and putting things out there for us on this beautiful, beautiful night. And I want to thank you all for coming out. We're going to jam out real quick. We're going to listen to a little bit of Digital Planets. So, you know, it's cool like that.
But I'm cool like that. 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 I'm cool.
Queen feed the chocolate, taps on my rap. She in a race after we the cat nap. He at the funk club with the vibrate. Them baby crazy down with the five me. It can kick a plan than a crowd burst. Me, I be digging it with the bug first. Us, we be freaking till dawn, peace and eye. He gets a change of smile, so I say hi.
What's up?
Understood, yeah, understood the plan. Him heard of it and put it to his hand. What I just flipped, left border get loose. How to consume all the beaches like juice. If it's the shit, we'll lift it off the plastic. The babes will go spastic, hip-hop is a classic. Pimp player shop, it don't matter, I'm fatter. Axe butter how I zone.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that, I'm chill like that. I'm chill like that, I'm chill like that. I'm chill like that, I'm chill like that. I'm chill like that, I'm chill.
Kids, 7 and a crescent. Us cause a buzz when a nickel bets a dope. Him, that's my man with the asteroid belt.
All right. That was Digital Planet, man. Cool like that. That's one of those genres of music when I just escape. Like that, reggae, I just escape from everything. Nothing else matters at that moment. I go into my own world, and it's cool because everybody there knows me. So it's all good. So we're getting ready to open up this next mic,
We have area code 419. Who do we have on the line?
Rebel Jones.
Oh, yes, sir, the legend himself. What's up, Rebel?
Oh, shit. That's a hell of a thing to say. I didn't know I had it like that.
Oh, yeah, man, you know you're a beast with that pen, bro. You're another person I've been a fan of for a while.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I mean, as I always say, thank you for waking up today. It's good to have the opportunity to attend your show, man. I'm sorry I missed your last show, your first show, but congratulations on the new show.
I appreciate that, man. I truly do. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I
got a lot of mental health pieces, man. I got a lot of mental health pieces. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to speak on fatherhood instead.
Okay. That's what's up. Well, before you spit, I would like to know, is there anything that you do specifically for the benefit of your mental health?
Yes. I meditate daily. I like to meditate in water. And usually out of my meditations is when the pen starts working. I usually write whatever I get out of my meditations. Like, it's different. I don't really have a process, but that's how it works for me. Writing and meditation is what works for me. Poetry writing was through the VA, I was in a trauma program, a trauma re-exposure program, and we used to log our traumas daily, all the details, everything we could remember. And the one thing I got out of that, besides more screwed up for a while, was everything that came out of my journal seemed so poetic. So that's really where my pen started, was through mental health and trauma, you know.
That's definitely a way, you know, a lot of us have, if nothing else, have perfected a way to get our emotions out through that pen, you know. So that's definitely,
I never really even thought about starting to share it until, like, people that were close to me would read some of my journaling. You're like, man, I can relate to this, you know. So I saw other people was relating to the feelings that I was, you know, scribing. And I started putting it out there. And then I met Clarence Ferguson Jr. Man, it's been a blessing since.
That's the poetic Dr. Dre, man. That man to put a spin on your pieces. Man.
That guy is amazing. That's amazing. My piece tonight is called Fathers.
Okay. Well, I am honored to say, especially to the man himself, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Fathers. You see, the devil picked me when I was just a seed and led me down paths of destruction. But you see, there's no point in fingers on the choices that I made were mine, because at the time in life, that devil was me. Then as I became a young man, my father, that creator, he put his sights on me, and all my past sins that I thought followed unanswered prayers made newfound sense to me. And he told that devil, not today, you beast. But this one here is now with me. Self-talk to higher self does truly help. A baptismal feeling washed over me. Not religious though, nah. This is something different. It's sort of hard to explain. Hold on. Let me try to explain. And then in an instant there was whispers, perhaps an angel. She said, your son is finally here, sir. Thank you, nurse. Fear washed over me. I shivered uncontrollably with anxiety, fear of failure, fear of not showing up, fear itself. How will I teach him? And what if what I try to teach him isn't right? What if I fail him? I I've never, ever, dear, it's full of dangerous what-ifs. Maybe that's why my father wasn't there. I get it. But your absence, that taught me something, that when my time comes for fatherhood, I'll do the opposite. I'll be there. She handed me this wonder, this piece of me so pure. Breathe. Father, I never really had one, so I have to create my own example. And maybe I could just reach back into the past where the darkness first started and try to recognize where I first needed guidance of a masculine entity to show me what it meant to grow from boy to man so I could pass down what I learned one day down to my own son. Boy. Boy, you ain't never gonna get the nutrients you need to grow if you keep refusing the food I try feeding you. It's the wisdom passed down from the elders, and I try to present it to you gracefully, but your hard head sends me into anger. Sorry. Take a breath and control myself, as that is something I'm currently trying to teach you. You're a piece of me, you see, so I know your potential. You were made partially in my image, so I know what I gave to you. Well, this is more of that. Let the teaching persist and continue. Grasp what I give to you and etch it in memory for one day, perhaps, when you're raising your own boys to men. Let it be my love and my voice of wisdom when you're lost in fatherhood. Let it be my greatest gift to you, speak to you once again. See, this is why I do this. Again, this isn't poetry for me, but simple guidance and lessons for young men growing in a world turning more and more cold and detached. Keep your respect about you. Don't ever lose sight of what it means to do the right thing, even in the face of adversity, and there will be some because times are worsening. Don't lose your humanity in the times that come. Your struggle will be greater than mine, and I'm sorry for that. We failed as a whole way back in the past and kept the cycle going full speed ahead, and now you are expected to clean up our ancient mess with a rapid coming future that would rather you forget. Peace.
So you understand why I say the man, the legend himself, right? You get it. I know you just heard what you said because it came out of your mouth. you had a bar in there.
Experience, man.
Man, I loved it. You had a bar in there that said something to the effect about refusing, like they're not going to receive the nutrients that you're trying to give because they're refusing the food that you're trying to feed. That is a bar, bro. Like that is a bar.
The nutrients you need to grow if you keep refusing the food I try feeding to you.
Man, like. I'm gonna try to see if you don't have that piece already recorded, I hope you record it soon. And I need my son to listen to it. He seems to take advice better, even if it's the same thing I said, but he seems to take it better for people that's not me. And I'm okay with that. As long as I don't care who the messenger is, as long as he gets the message.
As children are, especially the teenage years, man. Them teenage years, that's when it gets real difficult. You know, they don't eat. They don't eat.
Yeah.
Not in your face anyway.
15.
But, like, my teenager's an asshole at home, but everywhere he goes out in public, people talk about how well-behaved and how well his manners and how respectful he is. At home, dude's an asshole. He can give a shit. But that shows that the lessons are learning, man. The lessons are being learned and practiced, you know.
He's eating what you feed him.
Eating it, man. He's eating it. Although sometimes I just want to punch him in the back of the head sometimes. He's eating it.
Oh, I told my son straight up, I said, man, I love you to death, bro. I said, but everything that you're doing, I'm taking account of. Because as soon as you turn 18 and it's legal, I'm going to beat you up just one time and let you know. What
they do. And that's fair enough, man. I already told my youngest son, and he only 7. I said, you are too much like me, bro. I said, one day we boxing.
Straight up.
Man, it was an honor, and I thank you so much for stopping by Smoking Word, man. I appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to hear you speak.
Thank you for having me.
No doubt, no doubt. To get one of these very fine people to walk you over to the VIP section of the Bourbon and Bars Lounge, man. Again, thank you for coming out, man. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Thank you for waking up today. Peace.
Peace. Oh, man, that was Rebel Jones. Rebel P. Jones. That's how long I've been a fan. Long time. Man, we had an amazing, amazing show tonight. We touched on a lot of topics. A lot of people came in very transparent, exposing emotions that otherwise, you know, we try to keep hidden. And I just want to thank each and every person, each and every listener, each and every artist, and everyone that is listening. This will conclude another installment of Smoking Word Open Mic. Thank you all for coming out. Love you to death. Be easy. Oh, one more thing. In the words of my boss man, the incredible Arthur Larry Maddox, take your socks off, baby, baby.